Liz Newmark is the CEO and founder of Great Performances. Originally intended as a staffing service for women in the arts, Great Performances has evolved into one of the nation's most recognized and trend-setting catering companies. Liz's commitment to supporting sustainable agriculture and good earth practices led her to establish Ketchke Farm, her 60-acre organic farm in upstate New York in 2007. As well as providing fresh produce for catering events, Ketchke Farm is home of the Sylvia Center, a garden-to-table culinary-based program that inspires young people to discover good food and flavors on the farm and in the kitchen. Her new book is Sylvia's Kitchen, and our Alan Shartok recently sat down with Liz to talk about how these recipes came to be.
Well, you know, Alan, it's a book disguised as a cookbook because I have so much to say around food, around what happens at the table, about what happens in the kitchen. And I think no one wants a lecture. So this is a book with lots of delicious, seasonal, simple, fun, easy recipes. And it has, like everything else I seem to do in life, it's mission-driven.
Okay, so the mission is?
The mission is to get families around the table eating fresh, healthy food, to get families into the kitchen, to break down the barriers that prevent parents from getting messy in the kitchen with their children, because that's really where the important connections happen.
Now, Liz Newmark, the more I talk about politics, the more I talk about education, the more I talk about eating, there is inevitably some kind of color line that goes through all of this. You know, people in the white middle class, upper middle class, can find fresh vegetables. It ain't so easy for everybody else.
You know what? It's not so hard. There are food deserts. But more and more, there are opportunities to find fresh fruits. And, you know, you might not find the rarefied lettuce or multicolored carrots in some inner city places. But you know what? That's not a reason not to pursue cooking a fresh food. There are green card initiatives. There's farmers markets, green markets going into underserved communities. There's nonprofits doing incredible work trying to bring fresh foods to these neighborhoods in New York City. We even have Fresh Direct now delivering into inner city neighborhoods in the Bronx. So where there's a will, there's a way. I think the problem is our disconnect from actually preparing the foods and the lack of knowledge about basic food prep techniques.
So in order to do this, you have set up something called Sylvia Center, the Sylvia Center. What is that?
Right. So, you know, we feel, you and I, we eat healthy food. We want healthy food. And we want healthy food that tastes great. And I think that's really where it starts. I think when we start with the notion of healthy, it sort of is, you know, it's like, okay, this is not going to be such a great meal. So let's start with the idea of flavorful, delicious food. And to do it, we know how to cook a little bit, but we want it because we know it's going to feel good. And I really believe that anybody given the exposure to food that makes them feel good is going to want to continue to eat that way. So what we do with our children is we inspire them to eat well by exposing them to flavors and tastes that they might not have tried before, because it's definitely not fast food. It's a little slower food. When they're at the farm, we have a 2-acre children's garden, and I have to tell you, I was there on Sunday, and Julie, our educational coordinator up there, had me tasting things I had never tried before. And I'm a relatively sophisticated eater. We had blue corn. She had these different kinds of husk cherries and beans. It was absolutely a revelation. And when we expose children to fresh foods and where it comes from, aside from the wonderment of it, the wonderment of pulling a carrot from the ground or a potato from the ground, something they've never seen before, and many adults haven't seen it either, and then they prepare it together in a community environment, just, you know, under our field house, open-air field house, and they make a meal. And some of these kids we've seen half a dozen times before in classes. Sometimes it's kids we're seeing for the first time. But I really believe we're planting little seeds in their minds and in their taste buds.
But is it enough? In other words, I'm not saying that you're supposed to take on the entire, you know, world, but you have a wonderful center, obviously, and you have a wonderful farm. But can this be, exported to large populations?
Well, you know, I think one of the nice things about the food movement is that you have a sense that you can do something. Now, I might not be able to do something about global warming, but with food, everybody has three meals a day. If I can make a difference in one meal or two meals, mm-hmm. I can impact a life. I can make a little bit of a difference. So our program, if we're seeing, well, you know, I think this year we'll have close to 1,000 kids who will have come through the farm. If 10% of them are awakened to a new relationship to food, new ways of thinking about food, or they come away with a skill, a knife skill, a cutting skill, a sautéing skill, a making soup skill, because we have very, very simple recipes. If we expose them to how to do a great mixture with an egg, a little omelet or something, you know what? I believe that this seed grows and that they put it together with another experience and another experience. And can I change the world? That would be a long conversation, but can I change a little life? Maybe.
Okay, let's talk a little bit. I have a friend I eat lunch with quite often. His wife won't allow him to bring anything that is not organic into their home. Mm-hmm. And one day he offended, and there was hell to pay. And so I hope he's not listening now. But in any case, you know, she basically waited till he turned his back, and she threw it out. Threw the produce out. Now, you're better off, I think, with a non-organic carrot than with no carrot, aren't you?
I think so. And you know what? I'm not a strict rules person. I think that we have to be flexible. I've raised children, and I know that as soon as you say no, that increases the desire. I know that's the kind of kid I was. Uh-huh. So I think a little soda on a special occasion is fine. I think in terms of ranking of best food, I think local food is absolutely the tastiest food because it's freshest. And I think food that's local, fresh, non-organic is probably better tasting than something organic that's traveled 1,500 miles and has been in the food chain for a while. But I think the important thing is everybody can make decisions, choices, but it's important to embrace openness and flexibility.
Mm. Let me ask you, as long as we're talking about that, which of the recipes in the book will make all of our mouths water right now? Take some of your favorites.
I clearly have one giant favorite. And okay. I say, you know, when people say, what do you grow at Kotchke Farm? I say, well, in August we're growing lasagna. So my vegetable lasagna recipe is in the book, and I made a big tray of it last night, and it was gone within about 30 minutes. So I love that because it just highlights all the perfect flavors of the season.
How do you make one?
How do you make lasagna?
Yep.
Well, you know what? There's a map for lasagna because that's how I follow my map. It's three layers of pasta, tomato sauce, ricotta cheese with a little Romano and Parmesan, and then I use eggplant, zucchini, onions, garlic, chard or spinach, squash, and, of course, my tomatoes. Just layering up. It's a lot of work, but it's really worth it.
How long do you cook it for?
45 minutes.
Well, so do you stay away from things like animals, chickens, you know, pigs, things like that?
In the book?
No, in life.
Right now I'm in a non-animal eating stage, but okay. I will say that this weekend I roasted two incredible chickens that I marinated in some of my pickle brine before roasting, and it was really pretty incredible, or so my eater said. And I made a couple of briskets, so I think it's just, you know, for me, it's a little bit of a choice at this moment in time.
People ruin vegetables. What do they do wrong?
They overcook them.
Yeah, so what's the best way?
I think a great vegetable just needs a little salt, a little pepper, and I think roasting vegetables till they sort of start to caramelize, give up a little bit of their sugar is a wonderful way to go. I think steaming them lightly, and then, of course, eating them raw.
Right. Do you have vegetables that you really can't abide?
That I can't?
Yes, you cannot.
I'm not a kohlrabi fan.
What about it? It's a little too bitter for you?
It just doesn't do anything for me. And the other thing I will say, you know, for all, you gave me a wonderful mishaberach, as we say, leading into this program. But I will say in the most non-visionary moment of my life when we started farming and I spoke with Bob Walker, who's our farm manager, I said, look, Bob, plant whatever you want, but do me a favor. If I never see another piece of kale, it won't be too soon.
But kale is really hot now.
I mean, oh, my God. Kale is like the new gold.
You go into
and he didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
Which is good. Kale is so popular. There's a wonderful kale salad recipe in the book. There's kale chips. Kale is healthy. It's
what do you
good
mean, wait,
you.
Wait,
it's
wait.
Easy to grow.
Wait, what do you mean kale chips? Tell us about that.
Kale chips. So you take the kale leaf, you take a little, just slice that rib off of it, the back of it.
Yeah.
Brush it with a little olive oil.
Yeah.
Sprinkle a little fresh salt. Sometimes you could sprinkle a little fresh Parmesan on it.
Yeah.
Put it in the oven to roast about 15, 20 minutes. Watch it. It'll start to get a little crisp. I'd put it in about 300, and I would watch it. And voila, it turns into something so addictive, and it's a kale chip. And kids can't eat enough of it.
In other words, Mom, give me a potato chip. You say, yeah, here's something like a potato chip. And then you give them the kale chip.
Exactly. Bait and switch.
Have the farmers markets revolutionized the way in which we're able to shop?
I think in New York it certainly has. What's sort of interesting, you go upstate into farm communities, and it is ironic that sometimes on a weekday, the hardest thing to do is find a local farmers market. And I know the state of New York and the Empire Development is working hard to bring more farmers markets because it is so impactful. It's not only good for the consumers, but it's the best model for farmers because they get full retail value for their produce.
Yeah, they don't have to share with the middleman.
Oh, when there's a middleman involved, the farm, everybody makes money but the farmer.
Yeah.
So it's triple bottom line.
Wow. And I wanted to continue on our tour, our food tour. What else you got besides we had kale chips? I like that. We had lasagna. What else you got?
We have wonderful grains because I think grains are a wonderful source of protein and people know so little about them. So we have some wonderful recipes using farro. One my niece contributed to the book, Dinah. It's a farro with roasted eggplant, red peppers, and olives. Absolutely delicious. We have a farro salad with peas, cucumbers, and chervil. Also super seasonal risotto.
Well, the only farro I know is Mia, but what farro? So tell us what a farro looks like.
Farro, it's a round little grain. It's an ancient grain. It's a little bit nutty and crunchy, and it's, just super healthy. I think farro goes back to,
Joseph.
Millennium.
Probably Joseph and the storehouses for,
I think even before
for the
Joseph.
Farro.
That's good.
Yeah, well, that's how we save them. Yeah. Okay, so then farro, and how do you make it? You put it in a pot?
Yeah. Well, what you have to do is you have to cook the farro till it's tender, probably about a half hour.
Right.
And then you can roast it.
And you cook it how? I'm sorry.
You'd cook it in water.
Yeah.
Let's say, just trying to think what some of the proportions are. Well, you would drain the water that you're not going to use.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you might start with about a cup and a half of farro to yield enough that will help you add some vegetables, serve 4 to 6 people.
Wow. Can it be the main meal, or does it have to be accoutrement?
Well, I think it depends. If you're a vegetarian, it's a wonderful main meal because you load it up with vegetables, have nice salad on the side. But it's a great side dish, too. It's great with fish. It's great with meats. Very, very versatile. And it holds well. So it's the kind of thing if you make on a Sunday night and you could eat it into the week, it packs beautifully for lunch. You could add a little roasted chicken on top and make it into a nice complete meal for lunch.
I wanted to talk to you about the book, which is really gorgeous. I know I give you a hard time, but it's a really gorgeous book.
Thank you.
How hard was it to do that, to make this? I mean, this is something, this really catches your eye.
Well, it took, I think, from inception to completion was probably about 4 years. And that's because I have that, that little annoying day job of mine.
The great performances.
But, yes.
Great performances, for those of you who came in late, is this wonderful. It started as a waitress service for women in the arts. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, now we're probably the leading independent caterer in New York City. We're the only catering company that I know in the country that owns an organic farm.
Have you gone public?
No. We like to have control.
But leading means a lot. I mean, there are a lot of caterers in New York City.
There are a lot, and a lot of really good ones. What I'd like to say is when something important happens in New York City, chances are we're part of that. We're part of the fabric of New York.
And so what's unique about Great Performances, your caterer?
And what's unique, first of all, I think we attract an incredibly passionate individual, whether it's in the kitchen on the culinary side, whether it's in our operations department, whether it's our salespeople, because to do this kind of work where every day is different, you have to really love it. You have to love hospitality, you have to love people, you have to love the ingredients, the food. And we do. I always say this is the ultimate ensemble work.
Do you ever get tired? I mean, you wrote this phenomenal book, great performances, your wonderful catering company, Kachke Farm, the Sylvia Center. Do you ever get tired?
Of course I get tired. You know what? I've been canning pickles lately. This is my new obsession. And
I love
when
pickles.
I look up at the clock and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning and I've done a couple of dozen jars of my new crazy pickles, I feel tired.
Well, I love pickles, if you get the hint.
You know what? I got the hint. You know, I'm pickling carrots. I'm pickling these crazy Jamaican gherkin cucumbers that I'm growing in the greenhouse. I just pickled some green tomatoes, fennel, beets. So you just tell me what you like.
I like it all. So I have to say, Liz Newmark has written Sylvia's Table. It is a gorgeous book. I mean, you know, can you go online and get a little look at it?
Sure. It's at sylviastable.com, and it's also on Amazon. All the major booksellers have it. It's got a lot of beautiful, I did the pictures, so I'm probably prejudiced, but lots of pictures that show the dishes, of course.
And that'll leave you hungry.
Absolutely. And
you see those pictures, you want to eat the
picture. And then there's a lot of pictures of our kids cooking, our Sylvia Center kids, which is just so exciting to see that magic.
Well, Liz Newmark, always great to talk to you. I hope you'll be back often. We're out of time. We've been talking with Liz Newmark, author of the new book and a beautiful book, Sylvia's Table, published by Knopf. Liz is also CEO and founder of Great Performances, rated Zagat's top catering company in New York City. Liz, thanks so much for joining us on the roundtable this morning. We'll see you
Thank
soon.
Thank you, Alan.
Liz Newmark speaking to WAMC's Alan Chartok. The name of the new book is Sylvia's Table. It is published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.